So we're going to read scripture from the beginning of Acts, and then we're going to cover some more scripture too. So Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning. This is the NRSV, by the way. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them, and appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom. I love it when there's young people here, because then I can explain things to you, because you don't know this, and then other people are going to learn too, because a lot of them don't know all the details either. But see, Jesus, he was born, he was a baby. Did you know that? That's what we celebrate on Christmas. And then at Christmas, Jesus starts to grow up, and he becomes a man. You knew that, right? And we don't know a lot about him for about 30 years. But then all of a sudden, he starts doing ministry, and he starts sort of telling people who he is. Well, then some of the religious people and some of the Romans, they didn't like that people were starting to follow Jesus. So do you know they killed him? Okay, so far we're good. They killed him. How did they kill him? Hung him on a cross. Yes, good. Hung him on a cross, and he died. Some people don't believe he really died. People who don't really believe in Jesus, they think, oh, he didn't really die. He wasn't really dead. He was dead. They stuck a spear in his side to make sure he was dead. He was dead. So then they took him down from the cross, and they put him in a tomb. Did you know that? Yeah, they put him in. It was like a grave. That's what graves were at the time. And so they put him in this tomb, and they roll these big stones in front of the tombs. And then they left the body. They usually leave the body in there for some time, and then down the road, all that's left is bones. And so then they take the bones out, and they'll put someone else in that tomb until they just end up with the bones. Well, Jesus, he didn't turn to bones. Do you know why? Because he came out of the grave. He came back to life. Amen, congregation? He came back to life. And so he came back to life, and he appeared to the disciples, and he went up and said, hey guys, it's me, and I'm not dead anymore. I was dead, but now I'm not. And so he still had the holes where he got nailed into the cross. But he wasn't dead, and he ate food and everything. He was alive. He was back alive. We sing about it, and that's what we celebrate on Easter, and that was 7 weeks ago. And this is technically the last Sunday of Easter. Did you know that? Society has forgotten about it, but the church hasn't. And so this is our last Sunday of Easter, and this is Ascension Sunday. And what that means is, so Jesus was with them for 40 days, and then we get to this. So it says he appeared, so now we'll go to the next one, verse 4. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. Now, the promise of the Father, that means that God promised them something, because God was going to take Jesus back. He was going to go back to heaven. That's where he was before he was born as a baby, and he's going back there. But God's not going to leave us alone, so don't worry about that. He's sending the promise of the Father, which we call the Holy Spirit. So we'll get to that. So while staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Can anybody tell me how many days from now? It was 40 days, and Jesus was taken up, and then the disciples went back, and they waited in this upper room for, it's called Pentecost, because Penta means five, so it's 50. So 50 days, he was taken up. How long was he on earth? 40. So how many days? Not many days from now. How many days? 10. So when Jesus says this, so when they had come together, they ask him, Lord, is this the time when you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power. Everybody say it, power. Power. Corey, did you say it? Power. You will receive power. Do you know what the word for power is here? It's dynamis. Do you know what dynamis? Do you know what word we get from dynamis, Corey? You ever heard of dynamite? That's the word we get from dynamis. You will receive power. Is dynamite pretty awesome power? Yeah. You will receive power, not wimpy power, like dynamite power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where they were. In Judea, that was the surrounding area. In Samaria, that's the place they couldn't stand. The people of this time, they couldn't stand Samaria. They couldn't stand Samaritans. And Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses in the places you can't even stand. And to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. That's pretty easy to understand, right? I mean, it's hard to believe, easy to understand. See what he's saying? That Jesus was like standing there, and then all of a sudden it's like a cloud, and he goes out of sight. Have you ever let a balloon go, like a helium balloon, and you let it go, and you just watch it and watch it and watch it until it's gone? Where'd it go? I've been at funerals before, and out at the cemetery. Everybody at the cemetery would have a balloon, and so as a symbolic way of saying we're letting go of the person who's deceased, they all let their balloons go, and I've seen them go until they're out of sight. But don't you just keep watching them? You just keep watching them. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Corey, if you don't know the answer to this, this is okay. How did Jesus go up into heaven? In a cloud. Very good. And the angel who came, and the men in white who came and stood by the guys who were watching him do that, he said he's coming back in the same way. So how's Jesus coming back? There you go. You're pretty smart. Are you like one of the smartest ones in your class? No? They're smarter than you in your class? Well, you're pretty smart. He's coming back in a cloud, folks. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. A Sabbath day journey, what that means is, on the Sabbath day, you weren't allowed to work. And the Pharisees had all these definitions of work. And I have said before, you couldn't spit on the dirt. You couldn't spit on the Sabbath. And I know every time I say that, I think moms say, you never spit. But you couldn't spit on the Sabbath because that could, in theory, water a seed that could sprout and that would be considered work. They made up the silliest rules about work. And so a Sabbath day journey was as far as they were allowed to walk on the Sabbath day. And it was, if I remember correctly, it was about a half a mile. And so they're about a half a mile outside of Jerusalem when Jesus goes up in a cloud. So then they walk back into Jerusalem. And when they entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the last mention of Mary in the Bible. Just FYI. So Mary, she's in the upper room with the disciples, last mention of Mary in the Bible. Well, that's what we call the Ascension, and that's what we remember today. I remember I had a friend one time who would go to the mall. Now, I don't know if I should say this in front of the two boys, but I don't want to give them ideas. But this person, a friend of mine, would go to the mall. They would go stand anywhere in the middle of the mall, and they would start going. And what do you think would happen? Everybody who's walking by in the mall, they're going. I'm telling you, if you try it, works on Main Street too. People are going to be going. I never did that. So these guys say, "What are you looking at? Don't you have somewhere to be? Don't you have somewhere to go? Don't you have something to do?" And what was Jesus' command to them? To wait. To wait. If it happened today, and if I was in that group, and Jesus had just been taken away in the clouds, and he says what he says to them, I'm the one who's going, okay, let's tell everybody in Jerusalem and let's head to Judea and then we're on to Samaria. Anybody like me? Or you all are listening and waiting? Is there nobody here who's a go, 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 go? Let's go. We don't have to wait. Okay, thank you, Cindy, for not leaving me hang out here alone. They did what he told them to. They went back to the upper room. We all, theologians and I, believe that that's the upper room where they had the Last Supper. And they waited. And how long did they wait? 10 days. I'm thinking that it says that they fasted. Acts. So while they're waiting, they picked another disciple so they would have 12. Do you remember that? And they picked a guy named Matthias. They cast lots to see who they were going to pick. It was the last time in the Bible that they cast lots. Cast lots, draw straws, throw dice. They, by chance, figured out who the disciple was going to be. Why is this the last time in the Bible that they cast lots? No, I mean for anything. Because they would cast lots. That, you know, when Jonah was on the boat, and didn't they cast lots and it fell on Jonah, and so they knew that Jonah was the one causing trouble, so they threw him overboard. Why would this be the last time in the Bible that they cast lots? Because the Holy Spirit's going to tell them from now on. How awesome is that? God knows that you don't have to say, okay, this Bible verse. Ooh, pluck out your own eye. I mean, that's 2 out of 3. You don't have to, by chance, open a... And I'm not minimizing anybody who's ever done that and it's really worked for you, but it can work the other way too. Now there's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, so we don't have to cast lots. So they cast lots and they picked Matthias. So I also want to cover this. So I think we've thoroughly covered he's gone, right? Some people in churches today didn't know that Jesus ascended in the clouds. And I'm not judging them. I mean, I remember, I think maybe I've mentioned that here before. I did a sermon back at Mason on Ascension Sunday, and I talked about Jesus going back in the clouds. And after church, one of the people said to another person in the church, another person in the church said, so-and-so, they didn't tell me a name, came up and told me and asked me what in the world you were talking about that Jesus went back in the clouds. And so there's no shame in not knowing everything, right? But he did. He went back in the clouds, and how's he coming back? In the clouds. He's going to come back in the clouds. And it says every eye is going to see him. Every eye, everybody's going to see him when he comes back in the clouds. And that seems impossible, except now it doesn't seem impossible because, I mean, we're watching train wrecks. We're watching everything live on TV, aren't we? Who's to say that's not how it's going to happen? CNN, and all of a sudden he comes back, and then... the cameras are unmanned because those people were raptured. I don't know. So Jesus ascended. He went back to be with God. He was with God from the beginning. He is God, and he's back with God. And then they waited how many days? 10 days. Then when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, divided tongues. So 50 days into this, after Jesus was resurrected, Holy Spirit comes. And these guys who were uneducated Galileans, all of a sudden, they start talking to people in other languages, and they don't even know those languages, but now they're talking to people in other languages. Corey, do you speak Spanish? Nope. But you know Spanish is a real language, right? Yes. What happened here would be like the Holy Spirit coming down on you, and there's Spanish-speaking people outside, and you go outside and you start going, ¿Cómo se llama? That's the only Spanish I know. No, not even como se llama. Yeah, is that right? What's your name? What? Te. Como te llama. I think they would get it if I said say. But if you... So it would be like you went outside and started speaking Spanish to people so they could understand you telling them about Jesus. That's what's happening here. These people aren't speaking gigglebob. Because that's sometimes what we think about speaking in tongues. Did you understand that? Nobody in the world understands that because it's not a real language. These people started speaking real languages that weren't their own and they didn't know them, but they got this power. I mention that there's power? You will receive power. I read this quote from someone the other day and it said, well, I want to read it to you. From a lady named Marianne Williamson. She says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Hear this. Our deepest fear isn't that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear isn't that we can't do things. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Our deepest fear isn't that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light and not our darkness that frightens us most. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people will not feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine. We are all meant to shine. Corey, I want you to start believing that you are one of the smarter kids in the class. You've answered questions here this morning. You don't shy away. You talk, you answer questions, you say, I don't know, you pay attention. You picked up that Jesus is coming back in the clouds. Do you hear me? I want you to start believing that you're one of the smarter kids in the class. It's the reason that the church won't do ministry with each other. It's the reason that I don't have the whole church signing up to say, I want to go and pray with people when they're in the hospital. Why? Because we feel inadequate. I prayed with, you remember Kim from the mission who we, oh heavens. You remember, I got to text Adam back. I don't know if he's coming to church or not. He's going to Frederick today. Do you remember Kim from the mission who we put up in an apartment? I mean, I know Carolyn does. She ended up losing the apartment. Probably sold everything that we gave her. A sad story. She had a chance, and so Monday this past week we went to the mission, and I'm in front of the mission, and Kim always comes up and talks to me. We're friends on Facebook, and she and her girls are back at the shelter. And she said, would you pray for me that I get a job that I'm applying for? I'm going for an interview today at 1:30. And I said, where's your interview? And she said, at Rose's. And I said, okay. And so I go over. My hand's sweaty. I grab her hand. I bow my head and I say, God, I pray that you would help Kim to do great in this interview today. I pray that you would give her the right answers that the people want to hear so that they would see that she would be a reliable employee and that they would hire her. And I pray this for your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen. You see, when people say to me, would you pray for me that I'm a lot like you. I've got a life. I've got a family. Do you know how many people come up to me and say, pray for me about this or pray for someone? Do you know how many? I mean, I see people at Walmart and they say, would you pray for so-and-so about so-and-so? And I say, okay. I mean, what do you think? Like, I remember everything? I don't remember everything. So what do I have to do? I got to pray right then. Because at least if I don't pray again, at least I prayed. And why not just do it? So here's maybe why you came to church today. When someone says to you, and they probably don't say it to you as often as they say it to me, because I'm a preacher and my prayers are more powerful than yours, right? No, they're not. My prayers, God doesn't like my voice any more than He likes your voice or mine better than yours. Do you understand me? If you pray to God, some people in the church think if I pray to God that He's listening more or paying more attention because I'm a preacher. That's not true. If you ask Him for something, and if I ask Him for something, it's just the same. So, when people ask you to pray for them, just pray for them right there. And you say, listen, I can't really pray out loud, but and I may just stumble over my words, but I want to pray for you right now. Why would you not do that? And you know what's going to happen? You're going to receive power. And it's going to be one of the most awesome prayers that person who needs prayer has ever heard. And whatever you say, it's just like in Haiti. When I pray in Haiti, I always know the translator is not going to make me sound stupid. The Holy Spirit, you have power beyond measure. All right, I got to close. Jesus went in the clouds. How's He coming back? In the clouds. And that was 40 days Jesus was on earth. And after 50 days, He what? Went back into heaven. And where is He now? He's in heaven. He's waiting. So when you get to heaven, when you're standing at the pearly gates, who are you looking for? You're not looking for grandma. You're not looking for your sister. God love them and you'll see them. But when you first get there, who are you looking for? Jesus. Because listen, I'm with Him. He's the only reason I'm up here. He's the only reason I'm allowed in is Jesus. He's in heaven right now, waiting for you to make a decision on earth as to if you're going to join Him there or if you're going to go to the other place. Where do you think the other place is, guys? The devil's place. Yep. And how do you get into Jesus' place? Believing in Jesus, asking Him to forgive you. Lord, forgive me. And that's what we're going to do right now in communion. Let me pray first. God, I thank You so much for this morning and for this message about Jesus coming back to be with You where He was from in the beginning, and He went back. And we believe, Lord, that He is there now and that His mission on earth was accomplished. He died on the cross to pay a debt that He did not owe. He died on the cross for us. And we believe He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And because of His shed blood on the cross, You will forgive those who call upon His name and who ask for forgiveness. So, Lord, I pray that there are people here today who are right now asking You for forgiveness. Lord, I'm sorry that I've done some things wrong, and I ask You to forgive me. And I thank You that You do forgive me. And I thank You that You will send Your Spirit to live in me to help me to know right from wrong, to lead me and guide me, and to get me back on the right path when I stray away. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.